It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, of course, iHeartRadio. It is Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn, producer number seven, is here as well. Still to come this hour. Vinny Maiolio. Is that how you pronounce that name? Vinny Maiolio. It's Vinny Maiolio, everybody. From behind the desk here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Gone Gaming, senior odds maker, always takes us out for the week. His perspective from behind the desk. I ask him things. He answers smugly. I press forward, and he gets annoyed, and he wants to leave the studio. I think that's how that goes every week, although Vinny's very cheerful about it. I'm not sure. He probably takes it much more good-natured than I suggest. Love Vinny. He'll be here momentarily. Not momentarily, but within a half hour. And Kelly Bidlin, the producer of Prime Time Action, which we do every night here at VSiN. Myself, Matt Brown, although Adam Candy filling in for Matt Brown this week, who does a bang-up job as well. Danielle Alvari and Kelly Bidlin. We have a blast doing that show every single night. We have so much fun doing it. We are live betting. We're pre-flop betting. We're talking betting. We're busting each other's chops. So we'll talk to Kelly Bidlin, who's not only the producer again, he bets golf and bets it seriously and does it through his own model and does it very well week after week. Seems to always have the outright or hangs around or sort of lurking around the outrights or is always in contention. He does have a Justin Rose preflop at minus 135 to 1. He has a Justin Rose preflop at 135 to 1. Pardon me. I was looking up at the screen. Justin Rose, 6 under right now for the tournament. He is 1 over for the day through 4. He bogeyed the first. He birdied the second. He then bogeyed the fourth hole. Once again, duffed a little shot right by the green, if I saw that correctly here on the screen. And again, shout out to the South Point Apple TV and, of course, Tom Cheney for having it just beautifully right in front of us watching the Masters during the show today. So if I ever drift, because I'm distracted by the lovely accommodations here at the South Point Hotel Casino. Right now, Justin Rose, 3-stroke lead over Wiesberger, Leishman, and then Harmon and Matsuyama, who have yet to tee off today, who were 3 under after their first round. Tyrrell Hatton is 1 under for the day. He's 2 under for the tournament. He's 5 back. And again, when I ask the question of others, who would be the guy that would induce the most self-loathing in you if he won? For me, the answer is Tyrrell Hatton, because I had him last year for the Masters at like 77-1 preflop, and he didn't get it done, obviously, and now he's lurking. So he'd be the guy that would induce the most self-loathing in me. I did mention that I had the 2 matchups for the day, gave the reasons why, and again, shout out to Steven Andrus over there at the Lines for providing all the data to support these plays. But again, I have Carl Schwartzel minus 106 against Cameron Champ. By the way, neither of these matchups feature golfers that have teed off yet, so they're still very bettable. Carl Schwartzel minus 106 over Cameron Champ, and I have Corey Connors plus 124 against Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed among the golfers, if you will, lurking. 4 back now because of Rose being 1 over for the day. 4 back at 2 under for the tournament. Webb Simpson also 2 under. Zalatoris 2 under. Spieth 1 under. 5 back currently. Siwoo Kim also 1 under. 5 back. Scottie Scheffler, by the way, is 2 under for the day. He's now 1 under for the tournament. He's 5 back of the leader, Justin Rose. And Justin Thomas, who just teed off, he parred the first hole today. He is 1 over for the tournament. Remember, really sort of grinded his way to the 1 over yesterday. He's 7 back. Justin Thomas lurking. Xander Schauffele among the other big names. He was even par yesterday, as was John Rahm. Again, those guys 6 back, but we haven't even teed off around number 2. So this should be fun to watch. Really, I mean, the story yesterday was how the course was the winner. Out of 88 golfers, you had a grand total of, 12, 13, it was just a handful, 12 out of 88 that were under par. Today, everybody's getting it done. It's almost as if, and Adam Candy mentioned this on Primetime Action last night, it's almost as if the Masters proved their point yesterday and said, hey, remember that 20 under Dustin Johnson had in November and, you know, Cameron Smith having 4 rounds in the 60s? Yeah, it's not going to be that easy this time around. And it wasn't yesterday. Again, just 12 under par out of 88. Today, it's like they made their point yesterday. We're going to shift this around so you get it. No one's going to shoot 20 under. Have at it once again starting today. And so we're seeing some good scoring besides Justin Rose, who's at the top. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game where sports betting analytics live right here at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, and of course, iHeartRadio. First time on the show for this gentleman right here. He is the lovable producer of Primetime Action, which again, I do with Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, and Kelly Bidlin. It's the Kelly Bidlin portion of the show, ladies and gentlemen. First time on a numbers game. How you doing, Kelly? Oh, you dressed up for this. Look at you.
Gil, I told you, you said you weren't getting enough video calls into the show. So yes. I said I was going to call you on video and I was going to be looking sharp. So here I am, Gil. Here I am.
I believe you promised a bow tie, but we can talk about that later.
Bow tie didn't make it. Sorry.
All right, sorry. That's okay. All right. We lost your audio there for a second. All right, bow tie didn't make it. No, I appreciate it because we did have a DiMaggio-like streak here on a numbers game where no one would come on camera. So you have broken the streak. I appreciate it. So you have the 135-1 ticket on Justin Rose preflop among your handful of preflop picks, but you were very, yeah. By the way, and Justin Rose just birdied. So he is back to, oh no, that was his first round. He did not birdie. He's still at 600. Pardon me. One over for the day, 600 for the tournament. But you were very, you had a great attitude about it last night. I'm like, all right, four strokes clear of the field, 135-1. How you feeling? And you were like, a lot of golf to be played.
Yeah, I mean, it's first round. It's a major. You're talking about the best players in the world. This is, I mean, any golf tournament, whoever the player is, this would be a long way to go. Justin Rose, he's coming off back injury. He hasn't played in a month before this. He plays very well at the Masters. So no surprise to see what he did yesterday. We were talking about on Primetime Action, Gil. I mean, he's tied with Jack Nicklaus for the most first-round leads at this tournament. That's insane.
It's amazing.
But, you know, it's a great start, but can you really keep it up when you've got that mental pressure of all those great golfers right on your heels? And we'll see. I mean, the guy's got all the talent in the world. We've seen him play incredibly well throughout his entire career. It would be a great hit, but, you know, luckily I've got a few other guys sprinkled right around him too, Gil. So hopefully, you know, betting the Masters is a little bit like betting the Super Bowl. Maybe it's not exactly what you expect to make a ton of money off of when you're betting golf. You know, Matt Brown and I are trying to hit 30s and 40s and 50-1s each week. But this is usually a tournament won by those guys that are 12-1, 13-1, 14-1. So, you know, it's fire at more outrights than you normally do and hope to hit a big shot. And that's what Justin Rose would be here for sure.
Let me, I probably buried the headline on this. Well, maybe I didn't bury the headline, but let's give an explanation for this because people are like, oh, he's got a Justin Rose ticket. Like, how'd he come up with that? You do this by model every single week. You are not pulling names out of thin air. Explain to folks why Justin Rose made your little collection of preflop outrights.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, when I first go and start modeling each week, it's really figuring out the course that they're going to be playing at, what statistics usually lean well to this course, and then I'm building my model based off of those stats, and then what players have performed like over their past 24 rounds, 36 rounds, 50 rounds. Depending on the tournament, I might bring that back further or shorter. Usually, pretty standard is 24 to 36 rounds. So big statistical categories that were important to me this week were shots gained approach, which is important at every golf tournament, but especially here at the Masters. It's the second shot golf course. That off the tee, which is a combination of strokes gained off the tee. So start with your combination of what you hit off the tee and your approach shot. Strokes gained around the green. Driving distance, strokes gained on par fours, which I think is really important this week because, as we've seen already, these guys are mainly just scoring on the par fives this week at Augusta. And those par fours, where you can birdie par fours, is going to be so important. So that, and then strokes gained putting. This is one of the courses that clutch putting comes in big. The guys that can putt well usually do well here throughout the weekend. So I ran all that. Justin Rose really wasn't up there too far in my models for that. But then I ran a secondary model that took into the account of the firmness of the greens that we kept hearing everybody talk about all week long at the course early in the week during their practice rounds. They said the greens were lightning fast. They were extremely firm. And that's something in my model that I can set that condition for. And when I ran that a couple of times, the first name at the top of the list every time was Justin Rose. It was, you know, so it was, he was a guy that I didn't do in, play in much derivative markets with him coming off that injury, not playing for a month. I didn't want to have a ton of money tied into him. But 135 to one, thanks to our friends at Circa, I thought that was a great flyer to grab. And we'll see what it does here through the tournament. It would be an awesome hit, though, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's won over again through five. He just had a long par putt on six that he rolled pretty good past the hole. So he now has a putt for bogey that is no gimme.
Yeah.
And if he misses this, he will fall into a first place tie with Bernd Wiesberger at four under.
Yeah.
So he's going to let
Shane. And that's how quickly things can change.
Right? Yeah.
That's how quickly.
And that was kind of the point that we made on Primetime Action last night with Johnny Avella from DraftKings, which is, you know, I asked Johnny, as you recall, point blank, like, what would you say to people who bet Justin Rose four clear of the field at 4-1 and even got as low as 3-1? And I believe his term was, you'll help me out here, I would pin that person as not a sophisticated bettor. Was that his phrase?
Yeah, it was something like that. We were hearing a lot about those bets yesterday, and like way too early. You're not grabbing anything special with that kind of number with this long of a tournament to go.
Yeah, well, I'll give you the play-by-play on this putt coming up, in case those some can't see this, because obviously the network coverage doesn't start till a little less than 4 hours from now. But here at the lovely South Point, oh, this is a dicey bogey putt. My God, what did you say, Jason?
I'm watching the featured group presentation on ESPN Plus of Justin Rose, and I'm not even seeing him right now.
Oh, yeah, he's lining it up. It's about an 8-9 foot putt, I would say. I don't know. I can't really – but it is no gimme. So, again, this is for bogey on the sixth hole. If he misses, he's in a tie with Bernd Wiesberger. Bernd Wiesberger, who started the round at one over, is 5 under for the day. He's 4 under for the tournament. And again, Rose, who is 1 over already on the young day, now for bogey to maintain the lead. Here's the putt, and he rolls it right in. So he maintains a 1-stroke lead, does Justin Rose. Again, not an easy putt, and he saves bogey there, 5 under now for the tournament. That could have been worse. So Justin Rose, 1-stroke lead.
And he had that big par save you were talking about before, a big par save on the hole before. So
yeah,
he's saving, but 3 bogeys through 6 holes is not what you like to see, that's for sure.
Did you make any matchup plays today? Did you make any round two plays?
I didn't make anything, any bets heading into today, Gil. We were running through some of those outrights after they reposted them last night, and when I was looking through more of those last night, I tell you, there's guys that I had bet already that if I wasn't on, I would be betting. And we hit on one of the ones that me and you were both on, and we hit on this a bit last night, was Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
If you've got live betting markets, and especially as we're watching Justin Rose struggle here, the number has not changed. I'm looking over at DraftKings right now. The number hasn't changed on a Brooks Koepka, even though Justin Rose has dropped one shot. He's 50-1. Now, obviously, he's still got some work to do. He's another guy coming off an injury. But, we know how well he plays here. We know the caliber of player that he is. And you might have watched his round yesterday and thought he struggled a bit. But if you watched the entire Masters tournament yesterday, he didn't struggle that much in comparison to everybody else in the field. So I really think he's looking okay. I would take a flyer on him. I think Victor Hovland is the same situation. He's 50-1, 1 stroke closer than Brooks Koepka. I think that's a great number on a guy that I've got 35-1 on. So that's one I would look at. The other one is Siwoo Kim, Gil. I mean, that's a guy I won with earlier this year. He's at 1 under heading into this round today. He's in top 10 position already. I've got a 200-1 ticket on him. Which would be, you know, even better than Justin Rose getting there, but I'm not counting on any of this stuff.
Throw that in.
But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But, he's 50-1 live right now, and he's only 5 shots off the lead at this current moment. This guy's one of the best ball strikers in the world. He's just young. He's picking up the game still. He was around 15. I think he was 15th in my 24-round model. He was 20th in my 36-round model. If he can putt this week, this guy's absolutely got a chance to win this tournament. So that's a guy I would be taking a look at. Siwoo Kim, Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, all 50-1 right now. Anybody's out there looking for some, you know, second round flyers to head into the weekend with, I think those are some great bets.
I don't hate any of those. By the way, I did grab a little Koepka at 70-1. I was able to find him here after round one. And it could be the dumbest bet in the world, right? He could just decide.
Or it could be the smart.
Yeah. After three holes today, he could decide, you know what, I'm in too much pain. And that could go by the wayside. But at 70-1, it's kind of hard not to just be like, I don't have to put that much money down on this. I can make a lot. Okay, I'll do that. All right, so we're talking to Kelly Bidlin, by the way, at Kelly Vsin, Kelly with two E's, E-Y at the end of his name. If you want to follow him on Twitter, the lovable producer of Primetime Action, which we do, Danielle, Matt, Kelly, and I. Danielle Avari, Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and I. By the way, Matt Adam Candy filling in for Matt Brown this week, does a bang-up job as well. We do it weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern on MSG+, 4 to 7 Pacific. Weeknights on VSiN, 8 to 10 Eastern, 5 to 8 Pacific. We have a blast, and if you watch the show or if you listen to the show, you know that the other thing Kelly is very passionate about, besides golf, which he models on a weekly basis, and we do one-and-dones, Matt, Kelly, and I. We have a golf draft that we do with Danielle every week, so we have a year-long competition betting this stuff. But the NBA is your other passion. It's the other thing that you bet on a nightly basis. And I was just talking briefly with Wes Reynolds about how, and we've talked about it on Primetime, you and I, Kelly, where it's a dicey proposition these days in the NBA. But there are creative opportunities. The Clippers Live last night was just a beautiful, you know, play midway through that game. You've looked at the schedule tonight, and there's some things you like pre-flop.
Yeah, there's a couple things, you know, waiting on injury reports. That's the first thing. We talk about it on a nightly basis about the NBA. It's all news based. Whatever you need to get information on these players, wait for the, you know, a Pacific time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. Those are when we get our injury reports. You want to be around Twitter, want to be following the right people on Twitter to get those news and notes on injuries. But the couple I've got my eye on tonight, Bulls at the Hawks. Bulls coming off of a win last night in Tampa Bay against the Raptors. This is what I'll be looking to bet the Hawks here tonight. If Capella goes and hopefully Gallinari goes as well, they're both questionable right now. If they both go and I can lay only 2 points, still get that number, that's going to be a play for me. Over their past 18 games, Atlanta, eighth best in the league in net rating. This team's they're playing as the top 10 offensive team right now. Defense is down a little bit from where it was beginning of the year, about middle of the road right now. We saw them with that horrible defense last year, but they've really been a top 10 defensive team for most of the time this season. So they're down a little bit in that category, but firing offensively with some of the pickups that they've made and some of the guys that they've got coming back from injury recently. Chicago, Zach LaVine getting back in the lineup is definitely going to help them, but they have been struggling recently, even with Vucevic coming over. Second end of a back-to-back, only laying 2 at home with Atlanta. Like that one, as long as Capella goes and hopefully Gallinari as well. And then 76ers and Pelicans is going to be the other one I'll have my eye on tonight. Brandon Ingram questionable for this game. Zion should go. If they're right now, Pelicans are 76ers about a 6-point road favorite. If I can catch 5, 5.5, 6 points with the Pelicans at home and Brandon Ingram goes tonight, that's going to be a play for me as well. So those are the two that I've got circled right now. Big injuries, though, to be waiting on. So you're going to have to wait a few hours to figure out if those guys are all going. But those are two I've got circled right now.
All right, last question. You know where I'm going with this. In the spirit of Tankapalooza, if someone said to you, hey, the Clippers are playing Houston, Clippers money line, parlay with, let's see here. Oh, look, Tankapalooza, the return. We have graphics.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow.
There you go.
If someone came to you and say, hey, Kelly, I'm going to moneyline parlay the Clippers against Houston, Boston against Minnesota. Boston's like a 9-point favorite, 8.5-point favorite. And Indiana at Orlando Indiana about a 4.5-point favorite. But we're talking about a money line parlay of the Clippers, Boston, and Indiana. Who's the team that beats that?
I'll go Orlando first just because Indiana has so many injury questions heading into that game. And then Minnesota.
We talked about it a little. That's the one that terrifies me.
I've been for the past couple of nights. We've been trying to ride these teams we think aren't tanking last night. I would have had a perfect NBA day last night if the Kings money line could have gotten there. 7.5 favorites, but no, they got blown out by the Pistons. I think Clippers. And if the Pacers guys go Sabonis, Brogdon, I would go Clippers, Pacers. I think that could be a winner.
Yeah. Boston, I don't trust Boston at all. And Minnesota, as we've talked
about. I don't really either.
Yeah. And Minnesota is just
Minnesota with
scary.
Those young, scrappy guys. Yeah.
All right, Kelly, you've reached the big time. Thanks for being on a numbers game, man. I'll see you tonight.
Yo, thanks so much. Appreciate it, guys.
Look at Kelly Bidlin dressing up on camera. That's professionalism, ladies and gentlemen. I can't tell you once again how much fun we have every night on Primetime Action. Daniel Avari, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, and I, Adam Candy in for Matt Brown, honorary member of the group as well on Primetime Action, weeknights 7 to 10 Eastern on MSG Plus, and 8 to 10 Eastern weeknights on VSiN. Live betting extravaganza. Had the live bet over on the Angels and the Jays last night. We'll give you the reasons why we make live bets. Hopefully it's profitable as well. We'll come back. We'll update the master scoreboard, or leaderboard, I should say. And Vinny Maliulo will join us as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
This week's episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod centers on the last major prep for the Kentucky Derby. That is this weekend's Arkansas Derby. Guests include concert tours trainer Bob Baffert, Las Vegas Review Journal turf writer Mike Brunker, plus handicapping from Johnny Avello of DraftKings Sportsbook, the Ron Flatter Racing Pod, the RFRP, available now at VSiN.com/podcast, wherever you get your podcast, and sponsored by First Bet. Chris Velika tweeting, Finau coming. Tony Finau just eagled. He's at even par. Finau coming. He's five back. It looks a whole bunch more manageable now than it did just when we began this show. When Justin Rose had the 4-stroke lead after the 7-under yesterday, he is 2 over for the day through 6. 1-stroke lead over Austria's Bernd Wiesberger. And a 2-stroke lead over Leishman, Harmon, and Matsuyama. Brian Harmon and Hideki Matsuyama yet to tee off. Live odds right now. Justin Rose, so 135-1 preflop, all the way down to as low as 3-1 overnight. Now back up to plus 650. Jason, can I interest you in any Bernd Wiesberger at 25-1?
No, thanks.
How about some Mark Leishman or Brian Harmon at 22-1?
No, thanks.
Hideki, 12-1? No? Nothing.
Maybe.
I'm very pumped to see what Brooks Koepka can do today. Because as I mentioned, not only did I have him, and Wes Reynolds said it before, those of us who bet Brooks Koepka before this tournament started, the only reason we bet him is because the number was too ridiculous to pass up. So in my case, it was 30-1. Some people got 35-1. Some people got 40-1.
I got 35-1.
Yeah.
So and I listened to him talking after the round yesterday. It just sounds like he's uncomfortable and kind of half given up on it.
Well, SVP was saying it's like watching him bend down is a horrible thing to see. But then tonight, so he's 2 over, right? He actually grinded his way to a 2 over. I saw him at 70-1. So I was like, well, I got to put a couple bucks on this. It's 70-1. And by a couple bucks, I mean a little more than a couple bucks, but not that many bucks. I don't know. If Brooks Koepka, I don't care what he feels like. If he ends up burning a few holes early today, you don't think he's going to feel a little better? Please.
We'll feel a little better.
He's going to look up at that leaderboard. He's going to be like, I'm 4 back? What? Okay. And as hot as Justin Rose was on the back nine yesterday, there is nothing quite as scorching hot Brooks Koepka when he's on fire on a golf course. So we'll see. And or the other thing can happen. He could, you know, three holes in today, he could be like, I can't even walk. so I'm out. But right now, if we look up at the leaderboard, and by the way, live odds provided here as well. Do we have a second sheet on this? Do we have a second screen or just this one right here with the top top five golfers with live odds? Here you go. Will Zalatoris, who is yet to tee off today, who's now three strokes back at two under. Totally different perspective now. He's at 25 to 1. Christian Bezuidenhout is at 35 to 1. He has yet to tee off today. Nor have Webb Simpson or Patrick Reed, who are just three strokes back, 14 to 1 and 12 to 1 respectively. That was the thing, and Wes mentioned this earlier too. A lot of the bigger names really didn't shift in price between pre-flop and post round one, despite Justin Rose's round. So there wasn't a whole bunch of opportunity there. Okay, this is all updated now. Tony Finau, who's five back after the Eagle, 33 to 1 to win this whole thing. Justin Thomas, who is one under for the day. And that, to me, I have a pre-flop on Justin Thomas. That's the dude to watch right there. He's five back. He just birdied the second hole. So he's 10 to 1, which is right around where you could get him before the tournament started. Michael Thompson, 250 to 1, five back. Can I interest you in any Michael Thompson 250 to 1, Jason?
No, thank you.
Jason's very nitty with his
I've got Rahm, I've got Thomas, I've got Koepka. I'm pretty content with my basket.
Kisner or Champ, five back, 100 to 1, 150 to 1, respectively. Those are some juicy numbers, man.
I love the name Champ.
I'm fading Cameron Champ, as I mentioned earlier today, in a head-to-head. Carl Schwartzel over Cameron Champ. But here we are, and that's all it takes. And that's the point of what's happened in really less than 90 minutes this morning, is the difference between, you know, being seven under and four strokes clear of the field versus even two shots back and the rest of the field coming at you. And we have ourselves a golf tournament for sure, the 85th Masters. Even Tommy Fleetwood now, five back. So big names abound throughout all of this. So we'll see. And again, the Brooks Koepka thing. If Brooks Koepka ends up winning this tournament, let me just say this. It's going to be a fine weekend. And I do mean fine. Of course, catch me in like 3 hours. He could be done so. It's the beauty of this. Vinny will join us next. Vinny Maliulo to give us the perspective on was this the biggest bet Masters of all time here at the South Point? Was it the biggest bet national championship game of all time this past Monday here at the South Point? Again, the South Point, one of the behemoths that has 20 jurisdictions. So it's a great sort of barometer to see if, this sports betting thing, if it'll catch on. Coming back on a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The sports betting action this spring doesn't get much better than this weekend, and really doesn't. Our VSiN experts are covering the Masters, early season baseball trends, NHL and NBA playoff races, and every game on the schedule to give you the betting edge. We give you all the tools to cash more tickets, including our 24/7 video coverage, complete data and analysis on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every sport and point spread weekly, the weather and the betting action warming up this spring. And now's the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Look how much weight Phil Mickelson has lost. Look at that. Mm. We get tweets, by the way. Oh, okay. Slow jam music for Vinny. I'm sorry. I didn't want to step on that. All right. Sorry.
Let's keep form.
Forgot how this goes.
This Friday.
We get tweets. I only want to read one tweet here. This is from John Parker. Sphincter Titan moment for Rose on six. Let's go. Well, it's getting tighter. He's bogeyed again. He bogeyed number seven, but Bernd Wiesberger bogeyed 12. So Justin Rose is now four under for the tournament, three over for the day, four under on the tournament, but still has a one-stroke lead now over four golfers, Wiesberger, Leishman, Harmon, and Matsuyama. And my favorite phrase in sports, don't look now, but Jordan Spieth just birdied number two. He's two back at two under. Man, has this thing got tight in the span of this show.
Well, ladies
and gentlemen, the dulcet tones of Vinny Maliulo.
Hello, Gil.
Hello, Vinny.
The 85th Masters, otherwise known in this year's betting scenario, the Jordan Spieth Invitational.
So explain that to people. So you were making the Tiger comparison with people's love for Spieth?
So, yeah, and remember, Gil, in years past, of course, last year much different. The Masters was not played last April. It was played in this past November, which we'll get to in a moment. But for so long, Tiger Woods, even in recent years, okay, go back to 19, 18, 17, you know, Tiger had not been doing so well, obviously. But he was still bet. And one of the reasons he was bet is because, obviously, Augusta is an example of a course for the horse, so and Tiger's previous success there. And people, I think, first of all, they had a sentiment, a little sentimentality for Tiger. And because he had success there, they just would throw tickets. And give me 20, give me 50, give me 100 on Tiger. Here's the rest of my selections. But just...
Didn't matter the price.
Obligatory Tiger.
Yeah.
But what... And Tiger would draw not only money, but high ticket counts. But what that enabled you to do as a bettor was get better prices on other golfers, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, and from our side of the counter, if you're going to mitigate risk and book these events, if you're going to lower prices, you certainly need to raise other prices. Well, the same thing happened with Spieth here. Now let's fast forward to November. Obviously, he was not playing well, didn't do well. We put up this year, this current Masters, in November, after the last... You know, the 2020 Masters. We had him at 60-1. 60-1, Jordan Spieth, to open this future book. He still wasn't playing well, right? But the thing was that in the last couple of months, he did start playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he won at Valero. And you're realizing, well, wait a second. Look, you know, and people were, as they come up and start betting on the Masters, saying, well, you know what? Spieth's playing okay. Let me take advantage of the price. But then you got other golfers. By the way, Spieth got slow. 6-1. We had more tickets and more money on Spieth than any other golfer.
You got to 6-1 before the tournament started?
We got him on 7-1. He's 6-1 going into today. He was 6-1 going into today.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, but you also. 6-1, it should be noted, six strokes back. Yeah.
You also have, you know, but you got prices on Dustin Johnson going into the event at 10 and 11, 12, 10 to 1. I think that was the best price available. You had DeChambeau going in. Again, this is before yesterday's first round, at 11 to 1. So all of the folks that were early favorites on the initial pricing were, you got better prices on them as they went because, again, you're just watching these. This phenomenon and support for Spieth. So I likened it to the Tiger effect, so to speak.
That is, I mean, listen, all the reasons you stated, the arc of Jordan Spieth's performance over time, all of that making sense. The notion that Jordan Spieth in the betting market would be as beloved as a Tiger Woods, which was a cultural phenomenon, is pretty interesting. Like, I would not have guessed that.
Well, I don't know if it was quite as sentimental, but I think people, again, are paying a lot more attention to golf. Gil, here's the thing, and we've talked about this here on a numbers game quite often. From a percentage standpoint, a percentage increase standpoint, I think golf betting, percentage-wise, has ascended more than any other sport out there. I mean, let's face it.
I've said for years, it is the sport most ripe for a betting revolution.
Yeah, and it has. And, you know, Gil, again, I can speak to the history of golf. I remember when we booked the Masters and the other three majors, right? Pretty much that was it. And it was, we put up the future book and had at it. Well, then, you know, some customers started asking, we started putting up matchups, very popular. And then with the Masters, in fact, there's a gentleman that still comes in to this day. Back in the 90s, I was at Caesars, and Daryl, quite one of our beloved characters. And I can't even, you know, with my Brooklyn Brooklyn dialect, I have no Southern drawl.
Yeah.
Abilities at all, right? I leave that to my wife. But he just said, why don't you consider, you know, why don't you adjust the prices? I was like, you mean, what do you mean? He goes, on a daily basis, why not? You get some, and he was right. So, again, the evolution. Now, there's a PGA event every week.
Mm-hmm.
There's, for this event, which is the most wagered event of any golf event, you've got the future book. You've got adjusted futures on a daily basis. You've got head-to-heads for the entire event and head-to-heads by day, by round. And then props. Who's going to get, will there be, yes or no? Will Jordan Spieth finish in the top 10? Yes or no? And so on, so on, so on. Will there be a hole in one? Just things like that. What will the, you know, the winning score be, over or under? So we've turned it into something that it's not quite, you know, as many bets as the Super Bowl of 300 or 400, yeah. But
I would even suggest to you that even all that is primitive, that it could be treated as a stock market of sorts.
Yeah, that's, there you go.
Yeah.
It's
I mean there's so much for me to say here. When we come back, I will actually suggest to you that if you put stuff up, people will come rather than treating it as a self-fulfilling prophecy that they're not interested in it because it's not available. I think if we throw a whole bunch of things out there.
And we should discuss that. Yeah. What's involved in doing so. Yeah.
Okay. Let's do that. We'll do that. Justin Rose, one-stroke lead over Wiesberger, Leishman, Harmon, and Matsuyama. Visions of Jim Nantz trying to come up with a winning tagline if Bernd Wiesberger wins this thing will be fabulous. Coming back with Molly Ullo on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Baseball players may not get style points for home runs, but baseball bettors do. New BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone goes yard during a game. Sign up for the BetMGM app using VSiN 100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Yankees or Rays game tonight, you'll get $100 if either team hits a home run. That's a day game, I believe. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, in Tennessee. Call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. Once again, the Vinnie Maliulo slow jamming music, which is strangely smooth jazzish and not slow jammy at all. Is that Yankees game? Is that a day game today?
12-10.
12-10. There you
Pacific.
Go. 12-10 Pacific.
12-10 Pacific.
3-10
yes.
Eastern.
Yes.
A matchup between Corey Kluber of the Yankees and Rich Hill. Wow. What year is this? Rich Hill going for the Rays. In this one.
How long will he go?
As far as his body will let him.
That's...
Here's Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, live Masters coverage. Again, shout out, Vinny, to the South Point for having the Apple TV ready to go here.
That's right.
Tom Cheney, shout out to him for those of us in the glorious South Point studio who have nothing but live Masters coverage like anything we'd ever watch.
And live Masters action. Yes. Tom, I'm sorry.
What an operation here at the South Point, specifically.
Yeah.
The cool of the cool. So Bryson DeChambeau not happy with his shot right there.
It's a lot of, he's looked a lot like that the last 24 hours, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's four over, and he has parred every hole thus far today to remain four over, which is eight shots back of the leader, Justin Rose. Once again, though, Justin Rose, one-stroke lead over Wiesberger, Leishman, Harmon and Matsuyama as well, who have yet to tee off. Jordan Spieth lurking, two back, along with guys who have not teed off yet, Will Zalatoris, Webb Simpson, Christian Bezidenhut, and Patrick Reed.
Mm-hmm. Gil, did you get in a Masters pool?
No, I did not get in a Masters pool.
Now, this is the event, the golf event you get involved the most with, am I right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Again,
so.
Most folks do. I will tell you, Gil, this we've not been disappointed, and I know you were speaking right prior to my the first segment, but asking about The handle for the the NCAA tournament, the title game.
Was the title game the biggest ever? Was this Masters the biggest ever?
One of the biggest, if not the biggest, in terms of handle on Monday night. And remember, I think a few things contributed to that. First of all, it was the matchup everybody wanted to see, Baylor and Gonzaga. The other part of it is folks have shown in the past few weeks, they want out. People want out, and they want to socialize. They want to interact and get part. And because sports betting is very social. You get a bunch of people together, and when they're putting their money where their mouth is, it just brings people together. And the other part of it is, let's remember, there was a very good betting board that day. Typically, the NBA would be off on NCAA title game day. There were seven NBA games. There were baseball. There was hockey. So there were a lot of intersport parlays. Oh, and by the way, that really amplified the Masters betting. Leading up to the NCAA tournament, baseball futures from the Sweet 16 on, really, in a regular season wins, we saw a flurry right before the season started, and then the season got here. Well, Masters betting significantly picked up with going into the Final Four last weekend and right through the week until they teed off.
Is it your biggest yesterday. Masters on pace to be?
I'm going to say it's on pace to be the biggest Masters. Bigger. Listen, November was very good, and it was going up against football, which would so people adjusted and did bet it in November. But this one is even stronger than what we saw in November.
Let's get to that part that I teased before the break here, which is, I don't know, maybe the uncomfortable part, so I apologize in advance if it is. But you know I love you.
Yeah,
But it's one of the things where it's like, okay, so, because you have many times on this show, you've said, well, but Gil, you know, people don't like to bet whatever it was
certain
we're talking about.
People do and migrate to and not, okay. Whatever.
But what I would suggest, mm-hmm. especially in this year 2021, mm-hmm. That... if you build it, they will come. So let's take a sport that I love betting, the sport of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't necessarily put up first round French Open matchups.
Correct. We put up we put up tennis for the majors in particular quarters in because that's what we have over the years seen our patrons migrate to.
Right. So, and I guess what I'm saying is now that the notion of seeing our patrons migrate to, that if you actually put up the first round matches, just mm-hmm. using tennis as an example yep. here, because again, you know, golf is this, wow, if we do these, all these different markets, people will bet them. I think if you do the same thing for other sports, like if you put up first round French Open matches, people will bet them.
Okay. So here's a fair question. That's a fair point. Mm-hmm. So, and we have, listen, It's safe to say that not just here at South Point, I think across the board, that the betting menu is broader than it's been. Mm-hmm. Say even 5 years ago,
no doubt about it.
When VSiN was born, okay,
no doubt,
and that's good. That's a good thing. You want to pay attention. You know, your resources are allocated to what people are betting as well. Add an element to it. So from your perspective, you say, listen, you want to bet these. Would you bet them? So if I know I've had this conversation with Chrissy Andrews, our director and our dear friend.
My mishpucha.
That's right. And are you going to make a play? So here, I'll go old school.
Yeah.
Jackie gone.
I'll
right?
make a play.
Okay. So how many times do we get asked, hey, can you put this up? And we put it up, we put something up, and somebody says, and they go, you know what, I'll pass.
Well, I won't do that.
I mean, not that, you know, it's yeah. not an, you know, we wouldn't put up an insulting price either,
no,
but by the same token.
I said that to you last time. Yeah. As long as you don't put up an insulting price,
right.
I will absolutely
you know,
bet.
So, okay, yeah. fair enough. Then
I will absolutely
that's
bet.
A conversation that we'll have with.
And what I would suggest to you is beyond me, I think then. People will learn that they are here, and
it'll expand.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. That's a fair point.
Vinny, what do I know?
Listen,
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Listen, Gil, it's you know, these kinds of conversations are good because you garner some information and opinions, and you take them into consideration.
Yeah, as I've said to you many times before, and I think you agree, this sports betting thing, it's going to catch on one of these days.
I have a feeling. You know, I don't think I'll be back in a dice pit anytime soon.
One of these days, it's going to catch on.
I think I'm going to stick around in this this department.
Do you, besides the Masters this weekend, Masters is going to be, I mean, like, give me an example of... It's apples and oranges, but, like, you know, it's standard baseball, it's standard NBA, it's standard hockey. You do have a UFC event, which is not like the most massive one in the world.
It's not as good as let's say last couple of weeks, but sure.
But I mean, it's Masters and everything else kind of thing this weekend.
It's the Masters will have the most tickets written because again, everything is updated by day.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I think, yeah, it's safe
it's
to say
thing.
That, again, the Masters, and particularly the pace that we're on with it.
Bryson DeChambeau for par from, I'll say, about 25 feet away.
Did you notice he even went to the Golf Voice?
Nope. Wide left. DeChambeau's going to fall one more stroke back.
Gil, you went. You had the lower volume and everything. That was
Vinny. It's a tradition like any, unlike any other. I'm not sure if you're aware. So, can I ask one more uncomfortable question before we leave here?
Gil, you can ask whatever you want. Now, whether or not I answer it,
I was going to say
is another story.
I'm looking for what's my exit route out of the studio where I don't have to walk past Vinny, just to get out of here unscathed.
Wait, Gil, don't be ridiculous.
Okay,
come on. But we do know where you're parked.
That's
but go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's right. All right, I don't know if you know this, but the NFL draft is coming up in
a few
weeks.
You want to know when we're going to put up the draft props.
I want to know not only that, DeChambeau for bogey does get that, so he's five over for the tournament.
What, do you have a six-inch putt there?
Well, you never know with old Bryson. Okay, so when are you putting up NFL draft props? And more significantly, how many do you imagine that you will have?
Good question. Typically, we put them up typically, we put them up that week. I want to say the draft, is it Thursday the 26th?
Thursday the 22nd, is it, or the 29th?
Whatever.
That's one of those.
We'll
29th.
Put them up
3 weeks from now.
We'll
Thank
put them
you.
Up that week. 29th?
29th.
Yeah, we'll put them up that week. Gil, I don't know exactly what day and time. Christy and I were just talking about this yesterday. There's a lot of moving parts with the draft right now, too. You've seen all these trades that are impactful to, let's face it, the one everybody's talking about is a number of quarterbacks taken. Mm-hmm. It went from the first round to now the first 10 picks or first five picks.
That would be an interesting
okay.
prop, for instance.
So, and the props that we've put up are geared towards the first round. So, to answer your question, that week and the exact number of them still remains to be determined.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask.
No, it's
my obligation. Yeah. Cameron Smith, by the way. Don't look now. Cameron Smith, four back, even for the tournament.
He's going to split the two markers here.
It's a long birdie putt for Cameron Smith.
You golf it, Gil.
Oh, terribly.
Well,
I do.
Right.
I'm terrible. I find golf to be the most difficult activity in the world. Cameron Smith got it from deep. Cameron
Good
Smith,
putt.
Three back now.
Oh, definitely the most humbling sport.
Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, no. What was it? Again, was it Woodrow Wilson or Winston Churchill who was attributed with this statement? Golf, a sport in which you try to put a little white ball into a hole hundreds of yards away with tools ill-equipped for the purpose. It's the best. That's the greatest quote. And that applies to me.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Cameron Smith, three back. Some of us might have a preflop.
My Uncle Tony in Brooklyn said, what are you kidding? That was his quote. He summed it up a little more concise.
Quote your uncle next time. Michael Lombardi's next, the Lombardi Line. They'll have your Masters coverage as well and all your in-game bets right here at VSiN, the sports betting network. Enjoy.